We are going to just take sort of a little break from series this week, and then next week we're going to be focusing in on communion as we take communion together in the first Sunday of the new year. So we're sort of in the middle of series, so today we're going to talk about something that has to do with New Year's, or at least something that I hope is on our minds as we think about entering into 2013. And the title of the sermon today is Giving My All to Jesus, which is sort of appropriate that we sang a lot of songs that talked about offering, that talked about giving ourselves. God's offering to us, which we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks as we've been looking at this idea of receiving and re-gifting God's gifts, and then giving our offering and giving our lives back to Him. Now, a lot of us have had a different 2012 than we expected. I mean, really, we just have. Things happen in our lives that we didn't expect to happen. Some things were good from our perspective. I was thinking as I was writing this around December 26th or 27th that at that point last year, I had no idea that I would be here. No idea in the world that I would be back here in Mifflinburg and here at Buffalo Valley. That just wasn't even on the radar screen in any way, shape, or form. And yet, less than a year later, our family is here. And you probably have similar things that happened in 2012, maybe not quite as significant as actually picking up and moving, but things that happened differently in your life. Some things that were good, some things that were not so good. And as you look at the rearview mirror, as you look at 2012 in the rearview mirror, you see some good things, you see some bumps in the road, and you see some smooth sailing. And so as we think about moving into 2013, this sort of artificial thing we describe as a new year, and we kind of think about what we want to do differently. And I was listening in the radio the other day, and I know this from experience back in college that the gyms are very full this week and the first week of 2 or 3 weeks in January, and everybody's going back to the gym. Everybody's doing all these kinds of things as we make these changes as we head into the new year. I wanted to think about, and when God was sort of working in my mind, this something that we could change or that we could continue as we head into 2013. I've talked to a lot of you over these last couple of months, and you, like me, sense that God is doing something here, that God has a plan and a purpose that He's been fulfilling in this congregation, and yet it's not complete yet. There's more that God wants to do. There are more people that God wants to use us to reach. There's more maturing and growing in our own lives that God wants to do. And it's not about any one of us individually, but it's about us collectively. So if that's really going to happen in 2013, if we're going to look in the rearview mirror as we head into 2014, what is it going to require of us? What is it that we have to do? And I don't have specifics for us individually. I have some things that I think that God would want me to do, and if you spend some time with Him, I think He'll probably give you some specifics in your life. But in a generic way, I believe that God wants us to give Him our all. All right, to give our all to Jesus. So that's the overall theme. An overall theme for success in 2013 is giving my all to Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes that is easier in some areas than others. For example, if you were home this morning and you poured the last bowl of Lucky Charms, all right, you were the last one, and somebody came down the stairs and they said, "Oh, I would really like to have that bowl of Lucky Charms." You could have done that. You could have given your all. You could have given your bowl of Lucky Charms. Or perhaps you've had an experience where one of you, if you're married, that your spouse has come and needs that last $20 out of your wallet. And you know what? You're able to give them your all, whether that's male or female. I didn't put a person here, just put a wallet. But it could work either way. All right? But the thing about that is it's kind of easy to give that all because you know that there may be even more Lucky Charms in the cupboard, or at least you know there's more cereal. And you know there's more money in the bank, and so giving your all is easier in that regard than perhaps giving your all in some other or more significant way. Let me go to the next point, then I'll go back to this. It's clear that Jesus desires that His followers give their all to Him. It's clear. It's all over the Scripture. Here's just one example in Luke 14:33. Jesus said, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." I hope this doesn't bother you, but I struggle with that. It's like, pastor shouldn't struggle with anything. Oh, yeah, we should. I struggle with verses like this because I'm not sure how that fits in the template of my life. Giving my all, forsaking everything that I have. What does that mean for me individually in my life? What does that mean for you? Because we cannot escape these scriptures. These scriptures are all throughout the New Testament, not only in what Jesus said, but also in writings that Paul and Peter gave to us, this concept of giving our all, forsaking our all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think we should come to that glibly and just say, well, okay, that doesn't really, you know, yeah, that's not possible, so let me move on. No, it's repeated for us again and again and again and again. Probably you have been at a time in your life, maybe you're at right now, where you never even really considered giving your all to Jesus. That's not even something that you would have considered. It wasn't even on your radar screen. Certainly in my life, there were periods of time when that was not a question that I even wanted to deal with or even thought about. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're not, that doesn't really fit my template for 2013. Well, I'm just going to ask you to reconsider that this morning. Because over and over again, we're commanded to do that. And if you're brand new into this whole Christianity thing, I want to tell you that giving your all to Jesus is the best thing that you can possibly do. You could give your all in 2013 and look back in the rearview mirror next year and have the best, greatest, most exciting year that you've ever experienced. So what I want to do this morning is just talk about this a little bit. Now, I wish in some ways that I could just tell you what it means. That I could give you a list of three or four things to do, and this would mean giving your all. But I can't do that because giving our all is different for each of us. It would be legalism if I were to tell you that in order to give your all, these are the three things or four things that you had to do. You have to be at church 47 weeks out of the year. You have to give a certain percentage of your income. You have to share the gospel with one person each week for 52 weeks. You know, all kinds of things that people could come up with, that I could certainly come up with, that might be good things, but that might not be where you're at, or that might not even challenge you in terms of giving your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean? And if this phrase is not on your radar screen, why not? Why is it not on our radar screens? It's so important, and it's given to us so many times throughout the Scripture. I would ask that if you've never sifted through this question, if you've never leaned into what this question means for you, if you've never wrestled with what this question means for you personally in your own life, that you would do that today. And not only just in this 30 minutes, but in the rest of the day. Perhaps get alone for a little while today. Maybe go back to Luke 14 and read that verse again and again and again. Or look at the Gospels and think through what the disciples did and how they gave their all. And ask God to tell you, what does it mean for me as I head into 2013 to either give my all or be on the path that begins to get to the point where I can say, you know what, I'm really giving my all to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I just want to, this is a different sort of sermon for me, and so I just pray that we would just give all of our thoughts to you this morning. Be open to your leading, to your direction. Father, that you would help us to see through the example that we're going to look at in the Scripture what it might mean for us. But really just to take the example and then to have you apply it to the grid of our own individual lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, here's the big idea. Giving my all to Jesus means forfeiting worldly recognition for godly recognition, and it means trusting in him to make me like him. So giving my all to Jesus means forfeiting worldly recognition for godly recognition and trusting in him, trusting in God, or trusting in Jesus to make me like him. Very familiar example from the Scriptures that we're going to look at. Most of you have heard about this particular example. It's the widow and two mites in Matthew Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. So let's read this and then break it down a little bit. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans. Now, we don't use that terminology today, so let me just mention to you that the particular coin that she threw in was worth absolutely nothing in terms of value at this particular point in time. In fact, these coins were so poorly made and poorly stamped that it wasn't even penny candy. It was much worse than that in terms of value. So really, almost of no value monetarily at all. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." So that's the example. I think this is someone whom we could say gave it all, gave all that she had to her God. And so let's look at what can we learn from this particular widow. Number one, I won't be recognized by the world. Giving my all to Jesus means I won't be recognized by the world. There are very, very few people who give their all to Jesus Christ who are, in fact, significantly recognized by this world. Others here in time with the widow, they would never have noticed her. They would never have known her. She was nondescript. In this day, people have told us that the collection boxes that they used, or perhaps that they used here, were shaped like trumpets. And they were designed so that if you put a lot of coin in, it made a lot of noise. All right, sort of like if we, you know, had in the offering thing here, if when you put in your offering envelope, somehow like we would flash on the screen how much that was. You know, so whatever that would be. And for some that might be scary, and for others that might be sort of prideful, but it would be sort of like whatever you did. So you knew how much it was that people were giving based on the clanging sound that was given. And they liked it that way because those who were wealthy, those who gave, they wanted to be known. They wanted it to be known that they were giving a lot of money to the temple, to God. But no one would have noticed her. No one's ear would have perked up and said, "Oh, ooh, there's a lot of clinking in the treasury box," when she went by. So she would have gone unnoticed or unrecognized by the world. It is true, I think this statement is true, earthly glory and God's glory rarely mix. Rarely mix. I went online and found a list of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. So they listed their top 100 most influential people in the history of the world. Jesus and Moses made the list. That's it, as far as, you know, Christian folks. And unfortunately, Moses, the writer said, you know, I'm not even really sure that Moses existed. So, but he made the list anyway, all right? And then, when it came to Jesus, the writer said, I don't really know that everything that we have that's said about Jesus was really true, or that he really said any of these things, and he sort of dismissed all the whole supernatural thing, but basically sort of boiled down to, you know, if a calendar revolves around you, then you must be pretty important, so we'll put you in the top 100. You know, I mean, in reality, if we're really going to make 100 lists like that, Jesus is the list, all right? He doesn't really belong on the list with any of us men or women. But that's all that came up. And I looked at the couple of years, like the 2012 list, the 2011 list, the 2010 list, and there were very few, if any, Christian or there were some religious figures on there, but really no Christian figures on there of any shape that made any sort of contribution that they thought, that Time Magazine thought, put them in the top 100 significant or influential people in the world. Men and women who give their life, they give their all to Jesus, don't make the cover of People magazine, but they do make a difference in the lives of people. So just so you understand, I think right up front, we can learn from the widow, we can learn from human experience, that if you and I decide to give our all to Jesus, we're probably not going to be on Oprah. We're probably not going to be on People magazine. We're probably not going to be celebrated by the world in which we live. So, we probably won't be recognized by the world. If you're looking for worldly recognition, if you're looking for an invitation to Oprah, then probably, actually she doesn't have a show anymore, does she? Okay, so, I don't know, Ellen, does she still have a show? Okay, so if you're looking for an invitation there, probably not going to come by giving your all to Jesus. Second thing, though, I will be recognized by Jesus. I love this. I love how Jesus knows what this woman has done and how he pulls his disciples aside to teach them about this woman. And we don't know her name. We don't know anything else about her. But, I don't know, hundreds of millions of people have read about her. But she doesn't have any worldly fame, but Jesus knew who she was. You know, God is always watching over us. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." And he's not watching us so he can catch us do something wrong. You may have had someone like that in your life. Again, don't look at them. But you may have had someone like that in your life. Maybe a grandmother, maybe an aunt, or maybe an uncle, grandfather, who always seemed to be looking out for you when you did something wrong. And you never could get away with it. They always seemed to notice it. They were making a list, maybe not checking it twice, but they were just looking to see not so much whether you were nice, but whether you were naughty. And you had that person in your life who just sort of seemed to catch you every single time that you did something wrong, and you wondered, where's the camera? How do they know what it is that I'm doing? That's not what God is looking out for us for. He's looking out for us, and he's attentive to our cry. He's attentive to our needs. He's always got us on his mind. And when we give our all to him, we will be recognized by him. He will notice what it is that we are doing and how it is that we are living our lives. But we won't be recognized by the world. We will be recognized by Jesus. Here's the third point. I can't give my all to anything else. Giving my all to Jesus means I can't give my all to anything else. You only have one all to give. Now, this is not a good strategy in most areas of life. We are told, for example, with our money, that we shouldn't put all of our eggs into one basket. I didn't have time to look this up, but I was thinking about this morning. I don't really understand the logic about that, all the eggs in one basket. I'm assuming the idea is that if you put all your eggs in one basket and you're walking along and you trip, that you would break the eggs, right? But does it really make any difference if you divide them up into two baskets and you're walking along and you trip? Seems like you're still going to fall and you're going to break all the eggs. But the idea is, for investments, you're supposed to put some in the bank, some in the stocks, some in bonds, some perhaps in gold, some under the mattress, whatever it is that you need to do to order to diversify your portfolio so that if one part doesn't go so well, then maybe the other part will do better. We're not supposed to put all of our eggs in one basket. But in serving Christ, Jesus said, hey, if you can forsake all that you have and follow me, then you cannot be my disciple. And this widow, she gave everything that she had to God. We are commanded in the scripture to pour, to go all in, if you would, into Jesus Christ, to push all the chips into the center of the table in every aspect of our life and say, you know what, I am all in with Jesus Christ. Do we do that? Do we do that? The Bible also says that you cannot love God and the world at the same time. We try to do this. I try to do this. We try to tightrope this sometimes. We try to walk this fence. Yeah, I want to serve God, but yeah, I really like this too. And yeah, God might be leading me to do this or leading me to give this up or leading me to change this, but I really enjoy this. It's a struggle. Now let me just give a little pressure off of you if you're thinking about this. I don't know that any one of us gets this totally right. I don't know that any one of us at some point can come to a point in our life and say, you know what, I have given my all to Jesus. Build me a monument, preach a sermon about me, make me a song or whatever. I don't think we get there, but the command is to move in that direction. So much of the Christian life is never that we arrive. We can say, yes, I am fully sanctified. I am fully in the will of God. But it's a process of moving toward that direction and getting there. And if we never really have the goal of giving our all to Jesus, then we clearly won't be moving in that direction. So the scripture says that we cannot love God and the world at the same time. Because typically what we'll do, if we're sort of divided like that, the part that we have for the world will tend to supersede the part that we have for Jesus. And you see this all the time in religion. In religious systems that are not biblically based, if you've got man plus God, what almost invariably happens is that the man part pushes the God part out. And so it becomes, you know, forgiveness becomes more about what you do or what you say or who you go and ask versus the God who forgives. And if you mix faith and works together, it inevitably happens that works almost always drowns out the faith, and it becomes what you do, what you wear, how you do. It always works that way. There's a story of a little boy named Billy who many, many years ago was given a quarter. I know it's old because you can't get a quarter for ice cream cone anymore. But many, many years ago was given two quarters, one for the offering and one for ice cream on the way home after church. And he was throwing a quarter up in the air and, you know, kind of catching it here. And then all of a sudden it fell. And it fell down into the sewer grate. And Billy looked up and said, "Sorry, God." You see, if you're going to divide your things, typically the thing is, God is going to get the shorter end of that stick. God is not going to get the first things if we're divided. But yet if we give our all to God, He will take care of us. He will provide all that we need. How would your life change if you gave your all to Jesus? How would it change? You and I have the opportunity and the ability to redraw our lives. We can redraw our priorities in 2013. We can do it. You say, "Well, I have these up." You can do it. You can change things. I can change things. How would it look? How would it look if you gave your all to Jesus? Now, there's a reason a lot of people don't do it. And that's this point right here. Number four, giving my all to Jesus means I'll have to trust in Jesus. Let me go back to the story. I mean, it's a story, but I mean, I think it's a true event. I believe it really happened. The widow dropped the coins in there. Jesus pulls the disciples to him and says, "Hey, let me tell you what she did." But here's what's always fascinated me about this particular event. What happened to the widow? How did she pay the rent? How did she have money for food? How could she buy some more apps? What happened to the widow? There's no more discussion of, see, if I wrote the Bible, what I would say is I would go on to describe how, oh, I don't know, somehow she ended up founding some kind of empire to make something, and she ended up being a very wealthy woman. Okay, that's what I would write the Bible in that way. Or I would at least write the Bible that says something about, and after she gave the coins, a young man or a couple came up to her and said, "You know what, we want to invite you into our home. God just sort of led us to you to invite you into our home and take care of you." And she helped be the nanny for their children or whatever the case was, and she lived happily ever after. See, that's what I expect to see here. I want to see something like that. I want to see what happens to the widow. And yet we get nothing. No more description. Nothing about the widow anymore. And I have a feeling that if we got a description about what happened to the widow, then for 2,000 years, people would always be looking for God to provide for them in that exact same way. Because that's typically what we tend to do. We tend to want it to do something just like somebody else did it. Churches want to grow just like the church on the other side of the country grows. And you can't do it that way. And so probably if God had told us what happened to the widow, people would have been for 2,000 years dropping money into a basket and then waiting for the same thing to happen to them. That's not how it works. Giving your all to Jesus requires placing your trust in Jesus to work it out the way that He is going to work it out in your life and in my life. What happened to the widow? We don't know what happened to the widow, except I believe with all of my heart that God took care of the widow. That God took care of her somehow, some way, in some unique way perhaps, or some way that He's taken care of people throughout the years. God took care of the widow, but she had to trust in Him first. God is not going to come to Eric Reamer and say, "Look, if you give your all to me in 2013, here's how I'm going to lay it out for you." He's not going to do that for me. He's not going to do that for you. We have lots of promises of his provision in our word. We have examples like this that we should do this. We have verses and scriptures that talk to us about giving our all, but there's no individual giving your all plan for you or me that God's going to show what's going to happen. Because you know what? There may have been some period of time where the widow suffered. She may have gone hungry for a few days. She may have had a difficult situation or circumstances in her life. And if we give our all to Jesus, certainly if we look at the lives of the disciples who gave their all to Jesus, they suffered greatly for that. We might suffer as well. And so we would say, well, no, thank you then. I don't want to give my all. We have to trust in Jesus in order to be able to give our all. Trusting Jesus means giving him all the pieces of your life. All the pieces. Think of your life as a pie. I'm going to make mine apple, but you make yours whatever you want. All right? Think of your life as a pie. Your life is divided up into all kinds of different pieces. You've got a financial piece, you've got a marriage piece, you've got a work piece, or you've got a college piece, or you've got a school, high school piece or an elementary school piece. You've got a free time piece. You've got all of these pieces of your pie. What would it look like if you offered each of those pieces to Jesus? Said, you know what? Take the marriage piece of my pie. I'm going to give this all to you, God. I really want to, the Ilgins are here. They're celebrating their anniversary today. Happy anniversary, Kurt and Cheryl. Great picture, by the way, on online. What would it be like for all of us who, if we just said, you know what? Here, God, here's my relationship with my spouse. You know, God, here's the work piece of my life. You direct it. I want to give it to you. No, maybe I'm not going to sit and pray at my desk for an hour a day. I'm not going to pass out tracts to every one of my coworkers every day. But I want to give my work piece to you. I want to give you control of that, to direct it, to guide it. Here, God, is my free time piece. Maybe it's not as big a piece as you'd like it to be, but here's my piece of free time. How do I live in the time when I have some downtime in my life? Would you trust that entertainment tonight is not as good for you as the enlightenment today that can come from God's Word? Would I give that piece of pie to God? Giving my all to Jesus requires trusting in Jesus. And the last point is simply this. Giving my all to Jesus means being like Jesus. If we're a follower of Christ, the Bible says that we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And if we're a follower of His, this is what we ought to want. This is the goal, to be like Jesus. We're never going to get there, but this is the goal. To be like Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, Paul writes this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Jesus gave it what? All. He gave it all. He gave his life that you and I could have forgiveness of sin, that you and I could have abundant life here on earth, that you and I could have heaven. He gave everything that he had. He was able to give himself to the point where he was treated and mistreated and abused and beaten in ways that we can't even imagine, and had no purpose for that to happen from a worldly standpoint, except that he was willing to offer himself for you and me. When we give our all to him, we are more like him than at any other time in our lives. Will you give your all to Jesus? Now, maybe you've got questions. I'd be happy to try to help. I won't give you specifics unless there are specific things in the Scripture that I can tell you, because I can't tell you what it means for you. But wouldn't it be great to look back in the mirror of 2013 and say, you know what? I was closer to giving my all to Jesus in 2013 than I was in 2012. And then that builds upon the foundation of looking back in the mirror of 2014. It says, you know, I'm closer to giving my all to Jesus than I was in 2013 and in 2012. Let's spend some time wrestling. You know, I describe myself as the person at Walmart that gives out the little chips, and gives out the little juice. That's all I'm trying to do today, is get you thinking. If this is all you think about, this message, when you leave today and this week, then I've failed. And there's no way God can do all that he wants to do in our lives if this is the time we give him and this is it. But ask, wrestle with this a little bit as we enter into this new year. What would it mean to give my all to Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that you even want our all. That's what's amazing to me, is that you even want us. That you don't need us, but you desire us to come into relationship and fellowship with you, and you love us, and you want us to give you our all. Father, I pray that however this lands this morning, that you'd make it bear fruit in our lives. Father, teach us, lead us, make us hungry for you. Make us willing to exchange worldly recognition for godly recognition. Help us to realize that we cannot give our all to anything else. Help us to trust you, and then make us like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.